This is a Suno India production, and you're listening to the Suno India Show.
Welcome to the Suno India Show, a weekly news show brought to you by Suno India, a podcast platform for issues that matter.
On 19 July, Jitendra Singh, the Minister of State for Personal Public Grievances and Pensions, introduced the Right to Information Bill 2019 in the Lok Sabha in order to amend the RTI Act 2005. And on 22nd July, the RTI Amendment Bill was passed in the Lok Sabha with 218 yes votes against 79 no votes. The bill proposes changes in terms and conditions of the service of the Chief Information Commissioner and Information Commissioners in the states and centre. To understand better and discuss what implications this bill amendment will have, we talk with Rakesh Reddy Dubudu, founder of Factly, a data journalism portal, and also a long-term RTI activist.
I understand that transparency and accountability are, you know, in the preamble of RTI. How do you think these broad objectives will get affected by the amendment?
See, if you look at the debate yesterday, one, it's a good thing that we had a debate of more than 3 hours. That's at least some saving grace. If you look at the debate yesterday, there were broadly two points of view. One from the opposition, which says this will affect the independence autonomy of the Information Commission, and thereby, obviously, when the commission is affected, the larger implementation of RTI will be affected. Whereas the government kept saying it's more a technical change, nothing more than that, and all that. So we need to look at the history. I mean, for instance, if you look at the reasons for which the government brought in this bill, I mean, in their reasoning also, they said this is just a technical amendment. You know, there were issues with rules. We are trying to rationalize everything. So that has been their point of view. So the bigger fear is there are two, three things to broadly consider here. One, for a long time, even before this amendment, there have been complaints from the civil society and the RTI fraternity that appointment of commissioners was a big issue. Appointment of commissioners as well as their working. Now, that was even before this amendment. I mean, you know, what the act laid out, for instance, in the selection or their position, what would they be equal to, et cetera, et cetera. Now, with this, the bigger change is that the central government can decide the tenure, salaries, allowances, et cetera. Now, on the outside, that, you know, may not look like, you know, how does it affect the RTI in general? You know, for somebody who just reads the amendment saying, you know, we're just trying to change how they're appointed, not even how they're appointed, so to speak. In fact, the appointment process still remains the same. But, you know, how long will they stay for? What will be their salary and allowances? Now, on the outside, it looks like a very, very innocuous kind of, you know, amendment. But the problem with this amendment is twofold. One, you know, we already have a lot of complaints that the Information Commission as an institution hasn't lived up to its potential. Not just the Central Information Commission, but across states. This is a fact across states. That they have not done their, I mean, one with, whether it's with respect to pendency, whether it's with respect to clearing off appeals quickly, or whether it's with respect to, you know, in general, ensuring that the RTI Act is implemented in letter and spirit. Now, that being the background, we already know that there are political appointees, that there are very few people who actually further the cause of RTI. Now, with this, the fear will only increase. You know, that the central government will try to control. Because at the end of the day, what we, whenever it's a government appointee and let's say their tenure and their salaries are kind of fixed by government, we see that larger danger. And the second thing is, in the original RTI Act, if you look at the original RTI Act, the reasons for which the Central Information Commissioner was made equivalent to, for instance, the people in the election commission, there were certain reasons why they were made equivalent in terms of protocol, in terms of... So the reasons were that, for instance, if the Central Information Commission has to decide on any information, on any appeal related to information, let's say even relating to the highest bureaucrat or even relating to the, any office, they should be able to adjudicate those things, because sometimes they may even need to call for information from the, let's say, the top ranking bureaucrat or from the Election Commission or so on and so forth. So I think there was a reason why they were made equivalent in terms of salaries, terms and conditions, as in the case of CIC, it was Chief Election Commissioner, and in the case of other information commissioners, it was Election Commissioner. Within the states also, the state Chief Information Commissioner was made equivalent to the Election Commissioner, and all the information commissioners were same as the Chief Secretary.
So what does an increase or decrease in the salary of an information commissioner mean?
Yeah, so terms and conditions. Essentially, if you look at practically when you go to any hearing, and if you go to hearings and when you interact, I still do a lot of awareness trainings for government officials. Now, there is a certain level of fear, or they are scared of repercussions of not implementing that, precisely because they know the information commission is all powerful. In the sense, they know the information commission can summon anybody, even the top ranking bureaucrat in the state. So that power rests with the information commission today. So technically, protocol wise, let's say tomorrow, if they are made not as equals, let's say they are not even equivalent to a chief secretary of a state. So tomorrow, imagine there will be an RTI application which concerns the chief secretary's office, and somebody has to summon the chief secretary. I'm sure if their rank itself is below, protocol does not allow, and that will not even happen. So it, more than salary, more than the amount of whether it's 80,000 or 90,000, for me, I think the bigger issue is how it will be perceived, the kind of impact it will have on officials who will then be attending appeals, and also the larger bureaucratic system, which will then feel that, these commissioners are all not very important. For me, that is a bigger fear.
Okay, so can we say that, through this amendment, the government is trying to save the top bureaucrats across the country from, being questioned?
I wouldn't say that. That could be a broad generalization of what we are trying to say. But essentially, it will weaken the institution as such. By weaken, I mean to say it will weaken because in the eyes of people, in the eyes of the bureaucracy, the value of this institution will come down. And that will lead to a lot more changes. For instance, just today I was doing a lot of research. As it is, bureaucrats have a lot of complaints with the legislation, with respect to misuse, with respect to extortion, with respect to, workload, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the moment they realize that, the right information law, the commission of the information commission, institution of the information commission has been brought down to the level of, let's say, some other, not a very high ranking bureaucrat, but some middle ranking bureaucrat, that will definitely have a mental impact. And secondly, in fact, for me, the bigger danger than this particular amendment, and I've written about it on social media, is that if somebody looked at the discussion yesterday and had gone through, at least three members of the ruling coalition, I think two from the BJP and one from the Shiv Sena, explicitly mentioned the misuse, this term called misuse of right to information in their speeches while this bill was being discussed. Now, as it is, we know that there are a lot of complaints from the bureaucracy about so-called misuse of the RTI Act. Now, this parliamentary debate will only give legitimacy to such things. Now, if you ask me, is there no misuse of the RTI Act? See, there could be, like society is a mix of good and bad, there could be people who are asking voluminous information for no reason. But at the end of the day, there are enough provisions within the Act to deal with them. So this whole misuse is just a bogey to kind of cover up or, trying to stifle the larger information ecosystem. Now, for me, the bigger fear is that there might be more demands in the future, both from bureaucracy and outside, to kind of make more changes to that. That might tomorrow alter the basic structure of the Act itself. So tomorrow, people might say, why can't we have a situation where, people asking for information should specify reasons. That is a distinct possibility. So going for me, the debate, the kind of points raised in the debate by those in the ruling coalition, for me, those are a bigger danger than just this amendment, because it points to a certain direction.
Okay. And as an activist, what do you fear will happen because of the amendment of this act?
It will all depend on what kind of tenure they fix. Will they be made equivalent to X? Will they be made equivalent to Y? So it will all depend on what they do. So that is one. And secondly, it will largely depend on how it will be perceived by the larger public, both public and the bureaucracy. The bureaucracy perceive this as, you know, a step to kind of bring down the institution of the Information Commission. Then obviously it will have a very debilitating impact, because bureaucracy will then lose respect, then will start not respecting the act and also the commission as an institution. So I think that perception has already gone through, because everybody feels that the institution has been weakened. So when the institution is weakened, obviously, because it is the final watchdog of the right to information, I'm sure the implementation will also suffer.
Then why is the tenure such an important thing? I mean, right now the tenure is 5 years, right? A fixed tenure. How does it make any difference if the tenure is changed? I mean, will it mean they will only have it till the term of this government, or changes in government will affect, or why is tenure such an important thing?
Yes, essentially fixed tenure for especially high-ranking bureaucrats is something that has been recommended by multiple commissions in the past, by the Administrative Reforms Committee. Even at a state level, you know, the people ask for fixed tenures for IPS and IAS officers, so that there is very little political interference. Now, with respect to the Information Commission, the fixed tenure is important precisely because, one, for anybody who is coming in, for them to have any meaningful impact. So assuming a retired bureaucrat comes and he retires at the age of 60, and we have a limit of 65 in terms of age, 5 years is at least some time for them to make an impact, to kind of understand the kind of appeals coming in, to at least set up an institution where tomorrow any commissioner who comes in will know, okay, this is what I need to live up to. Now, without any fixed tenure, so I'm not sure if the rules tomorrow will say, will they keep on changing the tenure with every notification for the commissioners, or will they have a rule which says, you know, this is the fixed tenure? We still do not know. You know, that will only happen after the bill is passed and becomes an act. But what it will, it will have an impact on the people who are getting appointed, because they know they're all the time at the mercy of, you know, the respective government.
Is there any advantage from this amendment as such?
In fact, their statement of objects and reasons says that this particular amendment, they're bringing in this amendment only to rationalize things. They felt the kind of role played by the Election Commission and the kind of role played by the Information Commission are totally different. They say the Election Commission is a constitutional body, while the Information Commission is a statutory body. It has no sanction in the Constitution. And, they also go on to say, for instance, any decision of the Commission can be challenged in a High Court or a Supreme Court. So how can their position, quote unquote, be equal to the level of a High Court judge, which again is, a false argument, because even the decision of the President of India is also challenged in the Supreme Court. There is judicial review. So that is a false argument. I mean, the government says nothing more than this. Even in the statement of objects and reasons for this bill, they clearly say only one thing, that they want to rationalize. Now, I think we'll have to wait and see how will it transform into the actual rules. So tomorrow, if they make rules, and will they leave it open? Will they leave it? I mean, will they change it every time when there is a notification for appointment of commissioners? We'll have to wait and see. The government on the outside is saying, we have not touched autonomy. I mean, we have not touched anything related to their appointment or their removal. So the appointment still happens through a 3-member committee, and all that is fine. I mean, we are not disputing that fact. But the very reason that if and when the tomorrow the government of the day will reduce the level of the Information Commissioners to, let's say, a modest bureaucrat, then there will be a problem, because the institution itself will be seen as a weak institution, and obviously a weak institution which is in charge of implementing a legislation like RTI will have an impact, ripple effect on how it is being implemented at the grassroots. So for us, that's a bigger fear. And once there are amendments, it is like opening floodgates. I mean, all this while in the last 14 years, it's not that only the BJP government has now come up with amendments. There have been, in the past, occasions. at least two occasions when even the UPA government tried amendments. They tried, but they could not succeed. So this is not the first time. But on all those occasions, the civil society and the public at large were successfully able to thwart those attempts. So this is at least the third recorded attempt. When I say recorded, where we have a bill. So in fact, the amendments were first proposed in 2006. Just 1 year after the bill act came in, but again there after, because people were against it, the civil society was against it, it was taken back. There was a second attempt in 2013, if people remember, this whole historic CIC order where political parties were brought under the ambit of right information. So they wanted to amend the bill saying, except political parties, everybody else would be covered. The definition. That also didn't happen. There was... So this is the third recorded attempt by the NDA. And so they tried this before in their first term. In the 14 to 19, they couldn't do it. So technically, this is the fourth time and they've been successful in the Lok Sabha. Let's see what happens in the Lok Sabha.
What do you feel? Will it pass through?
I don't know if the entire opposition is united, it might be difficult, but it'll all depend on probably the give and take between the government and the opposition on other important bills.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Suno India Show. For more regular updates, do subscribe to our newsletter on our website sunoindia.in.